here. Now, I roam, so you'll get a good look at me. So I have fun also, so I invite you into that. But I'm really enjoying your building, your pastors. The anointing in here is wonderful. I walked in the front door and could hardly walk up to the elevator. I didn't even try the stairs. So congratulations. You've made a wonderful place for the Spirit to reside. And so I want to just do some new things that that I've been involved in for several years and share that with you, time-tested. But what your pastors told me was that you were talking about the generosity of God. And the generosity of God to me is that he sent his son to die for us, right? How generous is that? We're looking at all these babies over here, and there's lots of kids back there. You can get into how generous that was. That was so generous. And then Jesus came and gave everything and died on the cross for us. And I have thought about this many times. He took on my sin. He became a sinner that I might be the righteousness of God in Christ. How generous is that? I mean, I can't even do that. Can you do that? I mean, I don't think I can get that all the way. And then he became poor, that in his poverty I can become rich. It's amazing. It's just mind-boggling. Why did he do that is my question today. Why ever would he do that? And it's in our one little verse we're going to look at in 1 Corinthians. So if you have a Bible, I'm always encouraged by pages moving. So if you have your machine, go ahead. If you could make it beep, I'd feel better. Okay, so 1 Corinthians, I'm taking off my disguise. I'm at 1:9. In fact, I'll start at the end of 7. Our Lord Jesus Christ, 8, who also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. He's made you blameless because Jesus traded places with you and paid the price. But what did he do it for? You're called into fellowship. You're called into fellowship with him. And I'm finding that the church is really good at the transcendent God, the high one, the glorious one, the largely unknowable one, right? The church is really good about him. But I want to encourage you also that there's another aspect to God, and that's his eminence, his closeness, his nearness. In Jeremiah 23:23, it talks about, am I not a God near at hand as well as afar off? He is here. He is no less transcendent if you recognize his eminence. He's here with you, and he's not only here as a spirit, but he's here dwelling in your heart, right? Yes, amen. Feel free to do that. And he also wants to walk with you. That's 2 Corinthians 6:16, I think it is. Somebody check me on that. He says, I want to dwell with them and walk with them. So he's in your heart, but he's also here. And he's here as Jesus was here in the Spirit. And you can access him. Right now, he's right here with me. He's in between you and me. He's walking as I'm walking. Now, that shakes people up, but I want you to know that that's becoming very well known. Many of you were able to say, I hear his voice. Well, that shakes a lot of people up. But that's kind of normal for you at this point, I'm assuming. But I want to take a look at Scripture and have you see that many people in the Bible, and now accessible also to us, is to know that he's here with us, that you can see him, you can hear him, you can feel him, you can taste him, you can smell him, because he wants to walk with you. He wants to be with you. So I'm looking at the Bible here real quick. Now, my artwork is good. I don't want you to be distracted by it because it's really very good. Good so far? Well, it's two birds. No. I'm showing you the Bible. Because when we talk about fellowship, there's one name of God that encapsulates all of that. And that name is Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? He's with us. Right? So I want to practice that with you today. So here's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the word Emmanuel, which is a Hebrew word meaning God with us, appears three times in Scripture. Two of them in the Old Testament. We'll go to Isaiah. We're not going to look it up, but I'm telling you. You can look it up later. One in Isaiah 7 and one in Isaiah 8. And what Isaiah is prophesying is he's coming. Messiah is coming. All right? His name is Emmanuel. God's going to be with us. The third time and last is in first chapter of Matthew. And it says he's here. He's here. His name is Jesus. He's Mary's son. When you get to Matthew 28, Jesus himself says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Is it the end of the age yet? No, it's not. So guess what? He's with us. He's with us. Hallelujah. Yes, he's with us. So this is a time of visitation where God visits. We seek him and he visits. That's the Old Testament. New Testament, a time of habitation. He's come and he's staying. So we get a little confused when he says he's going away. In fact, in John 14, he says, "The world will not see me anymore." But you got to keep reading because the end of that is, "The world will not see me, but you will." And he says, "If you love the Father and you love me," next, I think it's verse 21, he says, "I will manifest myself to you." How does he do that? He does that by the Spirit. But he's here, he's available. You can see him, you can hear him, you can feel him, you can smell him, you can taste him. When I discovered this, my whole walk with Jesus really changed. It became much more intimate. So what we're really talking about is intimacy with God. He promises here, and he fulfills the promise here, and you're living here, and he's with you. All right? It's just so good. It's so good, and it's so life-changing. So we've got Jesus with us. He says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." That's Hebrews 13:5. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, how are you supposed to do that? You look in the Spirit. Let him open your eyes to that. Now, Paul prays in Ephesians 1. If you want to look at it, you can. And we've spent the last 2 days really studying Scripture together about this, so I'm just giving you a little taste. But I want you to see this in Paul. Paul praying for the Ephesians church, which the Holy Spirit knew you were going to be reading it today. Paul prays to the Father. Well, let's look at it. I promised I wouldn't do too many scriptures here. I know, but I want to get to our class participation. So here we are. He says, I'm in 1:15 of Ephesians. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation," that's the Holy Spirit, "in the knowledge or encountering of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." That's how you do it. It's very simple. By the Spirit, you open your eyes in the Spirit and you can see him. Some of you, while I'm talking today, will see him. Perhaps you'll see him for the first time. Many people see him. You've heard friends and neighbors and family talk about that, have you not? How many know somebody, including yourself, who has seen Jesus? Yeah, see, it's there. It's just that we don't know. It can happen all the time. David says this. He says, "I want one thing." That's Psalm 27. "I want one thing. and that I'm seeking of the Lord, and I will pursue. I'll go after this, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to see his beauty and inquire of him. In other words, I want to see him and I want to talk to him. I want to dwell with him. I always read that as heaven. You know, what a lovely picture of heaven. So you can go and be in his temple and you can see him and you can talk to him. Anybody else read it that way? Until I noticed that little phrase, all the days of my life. All the days of my life means today. Today you can see him and you can talk to him. And you can dwell with him in that way. Psalm 16, also by David, he says, I always set the Lord before my face. He is ever at my right hand. Do you know where he is today? Well, he's everywhere. He's in my heart. He's seated next to the Father in heaven. But there's a fourth way, and that is he's walking with you, and he's right here, and he's available. So I want to just talk a little bit about people in the Bible, because I'm a Bible girl. I want to see this stuff. I don't want some wild mystical experience where I'm in my vain imagination and I don't want to live that way. I want it nailed down a little bit. So let's help me, if you don't mind. Let's use a color. How about blue? You like blue? Let's go to the Old Testament. Thank you. That one person likes blue. All right, so I want to look at the Old Testament, and I want you to help me. Tell me, who do we know from the Old Testament actually were with God? So, an example, Adam and Eve, right? I'm giving you the easy one. I'm leaving the hard ones for you. Okay, Adam and Eve, and we know the Scripture just tells us God walked with them, right? In the cool of the day. Say it again. Enoch. And Enoch walked with God rather closely, didn't he? And by the way, you can grow in your ability to do this. It says Enoch walked with God, and then there's another verse, and then it says Enoch walked with God and was no more. So he grew in his ability to agree with God. All right. Who said what over here? Moses. Moses had a relationship face to face. In fact, it tells us that God speaks and he says, he's not like any ordinary prophet. He sees my form. Okay, somebody else. Aaron. When did Aaron see him? Say it again. In the tabernacle. I know one thing. Now, let's look at this one. I'm going to just get in here a little bit. Okay. Let's look at Exodus. Exodus 24. This is Aaron and this is Nadab. Nobody said Nadab yet. Abihu. All right, come on. All right, Exodus 24:9. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. That's pretty plain. You know what that means in the Hebrew? They saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. Verse 11, but on the nobles of the children he did not lay his hand, so they saw God, and they ate and they drank. He had a dinner for them. I have a whole Bible study on my website about God's hospitality. He's always feeding. So I like that. Okay, but you don't have to like it, but I like it. I'll just like it by myself here. All right, so there's 70 elders right there that saw him. They had dinner with him up on the mountain, but Aaron's one of them. Bill, was that you? Okay. Nebuchadnezzar, when did he see him?
He saw the fourth man in the fire.
Yep. Fourth man in the fire. And how do you spell Nebuchadnezzar?
N-E-B period.
You'll know what that means, right? He's not the only one. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were in the fire, and they were walking with him. Right? That worked out all right. Who else? All right, Abraham. We're going to get all the three-letter words are right here in the middle. Okay, wait a minute. When did Abraham see him? Yeah, he saw the ram. Did he see him at that point? I should put my glasses back on. Go ahead. You know, Abraham's one of the ones that cracked this open for me, because I was reading one of those read through the Bible things, you know, and I started realizing that it didn't say God spoke to Abraham. It says God appeared to Abraham. That startled me. Yep. And also when they were making covenant, right? He put Abraham to sleep, and then God walked through the parts of the animals and whatnot. There are several of those. But the one I'm thinking about is when they had the intercessory prayer. Those of you who are intercessors, they had the intercessory prayer for Sodom and Gomorrah. Was that Abraham? Say it again. They did. And one of them turned out to be God. Yeah. Somebody else. Jacob. That's a good one. And Jacob wrestled with him. And how do we know that? He named the town Peniel, which means in Hebrew, face. He saw God and lived. Okay, another one. It says all three of the patriarchs walked with him through their lives. Samuel. Samuel saw the word of the Lord. Okay. Somebody else. Gideon. Say it again.
Gideon.
Gideon saw the angel of the Lord, which I believe was God. Is God, however you want to say that. Somebody else?
Jeremiah.
That those first verses in Jeremiah. And God puts his hand on him, doesn't he?
Isaiah.
I saw the Lord. Yep, he's high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. And we did. And another guy that's very similar to him, Amos, also says, I saw the Lord. Somebody else? Whoa.
Noah.
When did Noah see the Lord? It says he walked with God. So I'm assuming they saw each other. But the one that really gets me is that when the rains were coming, Noah and his family and all the animals were in the ark. Who shut the door? It says God shut the door, and not only that, he pitched it closed. So he's out there like this, you know. Okay, somebody else? Balaam. Is there a double A there? And is it I am? Oh, lots of A's. Is there another letter in there? No, okay. I love it when Balaam, he says to the king, wait just a minute, I'll check with him. Goes over, he checks with him, comes back to the king and says, can't do it. Does this three times maybe. You think God was there? What was he walking over here for? Who was he having a conversation with? Yeah? You know, it's interesting how we read these things that God wasn't there. God was in heaven speaking or something. But it's pretty clear over and over again, God was right there. All right, somebody else. How about Hagar? Hagar, the Egyptian maid, mother of Ishmael. She's in the desert. And what does she say? I see the God who sees me. What does she mean? She means she's looking at him. And he's looking at her. Somebody else. We got more to go. Daniel. Daniel sees the Ancient of Days. People say you can't see Father God. You might be able to see Jesus, but you can't see Father God. Well, Daniel did. He looked up and he saw the Ancient of Days. People sometimes are confused and wonder if that's Jesus or not. But if you hang on, read just a little bit more. Always read a little bit more. If you hang on, you read a little bit more. Here comes another one, same picture, on a white horse, right? And he looks like the Son of Man. Who do you think that was? Jesus. Who do you think the Ancient of Days is? It's the appearance of the Father. Okay? Somebody else? There's more.
David.
David, Psalm 139 is pretty clear. They're together all the time. Yep. And his son Solomon. Solomon saw him three times in dreams. Some of these guys see him in dreams. Somebody else?
Cain.
Cain says, what will I do away from your presence? Somebody else? Saul. Saul did have a conversation. Somebody else? Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I saw visions of God.
Sarah.
Sarah was in the tent. She laughed. She was in the vicinity, that's for sure. Somebody else. Old Testament. I don't know, Ruth. Let me know if that's right. Isaac says he walked with God. I-S what? A-A-C. Joshua. Yes. God inaugurated him, it says.
Elijah?
Elijah saw him on the mountain. And Elisha. Elisha, they both have the same phrase when they go to prophesy, the Lord before whom I stand. That sounds like they're in the vicinity, doesn't it? Somebody else? How about Job? Job, I heard of you, but now I see you. Yep. Jonah. Some people go with Jonah. I don't know if I have that. A.H. Jonah. You know, when he was... It does say that. Yep, Jonah's one. I'm thinking through the book there for a second. Somebody else. Seems like kind of a common thing. Yes, yes, yes. Good job. I can't spell it, but that's got a period in it. Yes, he saw, and you know what? He had 2,000 lords with him. They all saw the hand that said, time's up. Somebody else? Joseph? Are we talking Old Testament? You're missing 3 million of them. The Israelites. Well, somewhere between 1 and 5, 1 and 6, so I take 3. Somebody else? I don't know about Esther.
Pharaoh?
Yes? Find it for me, will you? I want to be informed. I do this periodically, and I want to... Were you saying someone?
I don't know if Pharaoh certainly saw God move.
There was a Pharaoh that was named twice. They were either one guy or two guys. They had both wives. And they had dreams, and God said, you're in deep trouble. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember who it was? Starts with an A. No, we have to look that one up too. Anybody else? Well, you get an idea here that lots and lots of people, not just in the line of the Messiah, there are people here that are not in the line of the Messiah, but we have Hagar the Egyptian. He appears to people. We got Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, you know, you've got several. You've got groups, you've got dreamers, you've got all kinds of ways that God does that. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. Let's get a new color. I'm excited. New Testament. All right, let's break this up. When Jesus was on the earth, who saw God? Yeah, everybody at the
everybody in Jerusalem.
Everybody that ran into him when he's on the earth. How are we doing for time? We're okay? Well, I usually speak for 8 hours, so I'm just getting warmed up here. There were several people that fainted back there. You'll have to send the healing crew back there. Yep. So when Jesus was on the earth, everybody who saw Jesus saw God. We agreed?
Yes.
But the one I wanna really hit here is that Jesus saw God. Here's Jesus' testimony. I don't do anything unless I see my Father's doing. That's John 5:19. John 8:38 says, I don't speak anything unless I see the Father. Right? So did Jesus, who's our model, you know, when Jesus came, humbled himself, put away all knowing, put away ever present, put away all power, became like us, anointed by the Spirit at his baptism. He didn't do anything unless he saw his Father. Is that like us? That's like us. He came to be like us. He's our model. If he can see God, you can too. Okay? When Jesus was on the earth, there were several people that knew he was Messiah. Give me a couple of those. Who knew he was the Messiah when he was on the earth? Peter. Who else?
Mary.
Mary? I think so. Mary pondered. Anna? Simeon? The thief on the cross? Martha? The Roman God at the cross? Yeah. John the Baptist? Elizabeth? Yeah, I mean, you know, he came at the end. I think he came around. Yeah. You're out there. You're sitting right where you ought to sit.
Mary, Martha, and Lazarus.
Yes, I think they did. Mary, Martha. He says to Martha, or she says, in that conversation when Lazarus was dead. Yeah. I'm giving you a lot of points here. A lot of points. Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah, I think so. I think both he and Nicodemus. Right? There are others, but let's move on. Then there's another section here where the 40 days, the mysterious 40 days that Jesus walked on the earth, was post-resurrection. Who saw him then?
All the people that perished in the flood of Noah.
Now, there's a theological...
That's true.
I think that's probably true.
All the people that perished in the flood of Noah.
Interesting. So, were we having lunch? We could talk about it? I don't disagree. I just never thought of that. Well, you have to show it to me. I want
to
learn. All right. Well, okay. We can talk about that too. All right, so... We always have things to learn. Who else saw him? 500 at one time. James. Who else? Yeah, 10 apostles, then 11 apostles. Who else?
Paul.
Well, I'm not to Paul yet. Paul wasn't in the area yet.
What about the dead?
Someone take Ross for a short walk.
Go sit over by John.
I don't know if I want you two together. Well, you get the idea. Yeah, talk amongst yourselves. Okay. All right, now I want to go to post-ascension. Now he's risen. Paul. Did you get a chance to marry Mary's husband? Mary's friend? Mary's... What's your name?
Cal.
All right, Cal. Cal said Paul first. I want to give him credit. Okay, Paul sees him, doesn't he? Not just on the road to Damascus. Not just in heaven, because remember he goes to heaven in 2 Corinthians 12. But he says he sees him a lot. But we have several instances. I think there's nine. I think that counts his conversion. That he mentions that he's with Jesus. All right, who else? John. Who else? Well, that would be Holy Spirit. It certainly would be God. Yes, that's here. But Upper Room is here. No. Yes, Upper Room is here. Okay. That's good. I like that. And then Stephen, he preaches the best sermon ever. They drag him out to kill him. Most pastors have had that experience. I thought it was the best sermon ever, but you guys must not have liked it. All right, one more, Ananias. You were trying to get that one? Sorry, and I can't spell it either, so that's Ananias. Road to Emmaus is here. Yep, Road to Emmaus. Mike likes me to do Road to Emmaus because everybody thinks it's two guys that are going to Emmaus. Well, it's two disciples. It doesn't say gender, but it gives you a hint because it names the man, but it doesn't name the other man. Or could it be a husband and wife? So pick up your stones.
No.
Okay. So we have people when Christ has ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father, who still sees him. Why is that important? Because you're post-ascension. Is it available to you? These are not exceptions. There's too many of them. This is available to you. All right, I'm just going to give you one of my stories. And then I'm going to introduce the people that were here and encourage you to talk with them a little bit about what they found out in the last 2 days, what they practiced and whatnot. I see you, Crystal. So here's a story. I was in California about a year ago, and I was going to speak to a group kind of like this. We were doing worship, and I tell you what, I got up that morning and I got the right outfit. I mean, I looked classy. I didn't say young, I said classy. We're talking about clothes here. And I had an all white outfit on, and I had pearls, and I had little diamonds in my ears. And I just want you to know that for once in my life, I was dressed, I was gleaming. There wasn't a spot on me or a wrinkle, nothing. I just looked fabulous. And I just wanted to tell you that. That was the end of my story. But we got the end of worship, and they started to introduce me, and I thought, I haven't even looked for Jesus. I was sort of enamored with myself. But I hadn't even looked for Jesus. And so instantly, I mean, as soon as you turn to that, you can see him. So he was right here, standing. I was sitting. He was standing. And as I looked at him, I thought, just because this happens just in a second, and I thought, wait a minute, something's not quite right. He was wearing a white robe, but there were like some kind of cuts on them or some kind of, something was wrong. And as I looked again, I realized as it kind of came into focus that he was wearing a robe, but it was kind of dirty and it had slits in it. And then I realized he was wearing rags. And I looked up at his face just in an instant. And his hair was kind of greasy. And he didn't look clean. But he also just looked awful. And I said to him, Jesus, what is this? I mean, I'm doing it in my mind, but talking to him. And I said, your clothes. And he said, no, your clothes. See, he became poor. and by his poverty I've become rich. He took on sin, and this all just hit me. I'm telling you, I could hardly stand up, because I realized he was telling me, I've done this exchange, and I understood why I was wearing what I was wearing. I got up and I gave a couple-hour presentation, and I can shorten it, and I was undone. That he was wearing my clothes, and I was wearing his. And the generosity of God just came so, and his goodness and his kindness and his gentleness and whatnot. I got done with the session, and it was a glorious time and whatnot. And on the way out to the car, I did something that was just petty. You know, sometimes when you have a really good time, you just mess up. And I did something that probably hurt someone else. I'm not sure. I never have interviewed them. But it was just stupid, petty, thoughtless. And I just felt terrible about it. You know how you do that. And then you beat yourself up. And then you apologize. And you don't get any relief. And you figure out ways you could have done it better. And maybe they didn't hear you. And anybody? Yeah. Okay. And you're just wounded about it. And so we were halfway to L.A. after 40 minutes or so of me just beating myself up. And Mike was saying, well, it wasn't your best moment. You know, he didn't want to lie to me because then I'd be mad at him. And I just couldn't get over it. And I thought, and I think I said to you, I'm not going to sleep for 2 nights. I know I'm going to wrestle with this for 2 nights. That I did this awful, it was just bad. It was just bad. And Jesus appeared as I said that. And sometimes he will spontaneously appear when you're not thinking about finding him. And how many of you hide when you've done something like that? So I wasn't looking for him. I was hiding from him. And there he was in these rags again. And he said, I told you, I'm wearing your clothes. And I realized the forgiveness had already been done, already exchanged. It wasn't that I didn't do anything bad, but I could just feel that all lift off of me. Seeing Jesus and being with Jesus has greatly enhanced my connection with him. And I just want to encourage you to ask some of these folks, I think there were 13 of you that were here, ask them about it. There are some simple steps that we go through to help you connect with Jesus. And I urge you to find out about that. I'm sorry we don't have time to do it, but it's not that you're left, because you've got people among you who can help you with this. Right, Kevin? Yep. But I just want to start with you that this is biblical. It's possible. I've been doing it for 14 years. And I'm not crazy. And I recommend recognizing Jesus with you always. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He died for the fellowship. Lots of people can't say they have fellowship. Can you? Yeah, but he's here for it. And it means a lot to him. So I urge you to try to connect with him. And some of you, you'll just do it spontaneously, and others of you, we'll need to do some devotional remembering good things about him and whatnot. But it's available, and it's already here in your church. So thank you for listening. You did a good job playing the game here. And thank you for your time. All right. Hold it.
We're gonna finish, but I just want Barbara maybe to lead us in just in some prayer, just to become aware of the presence of God right now. Just see what the Father, through Jesus, wants to say to you right here, right now. Are you willing to do that? He is here. And you know what? He wants to make himself known to you. How many of you'd really like to see him this morning, like really want to see him? Amen.
Thank you. You saw those hands, Lord. That one that shot up at the back. You saw it. You see us. And Lord, we ask that you would make yourself known to us, that we would see who you are right now to us. We appreciate the stories we've heard. We appreciate Patty's story of you coming to her in such a strong but gentle way, just like you are, God, with a word to say, but done in gentleness. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that we would now, as we would just pause and wait, pray that you would come to these sweet people that are looking for you and show us where you're at and what you're wanting to do and say to us. Thank you, Lord. Open the eyes.